You. Amen. That's right. An exciting thing to realize that He loves us. He loves us even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Not a single one of us do. Oh, but preacher, I've always been a good person. Okay. Have you ever broken a single commandment? Well, maybe. The Word says if you broke one, you broke them all. So not a single one of us deserve the love that God gives us, but He gives it to us anyway. Isn't that an amazing thing? Today I want to talk about the path to redemption. Resurrection Sunday is only 4 weeks away. I'll say that again. Resurrection Sunday is only 4 weeks away. That's an exciting thing. Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is only 4 weeks away. And listen, every pastor gets excited about preaching about the resurrection. Why does every pastor get excited about preaching about the resurrection? Because the resurrection is the whole reason that we have hope. Think about this. If not for the resurrection, we would have no hope. If Jesus went to the cross and died and they put Him in a tomb and He never came out, there's no hope. All of our belief is wrong. Everything that we accept as truth is a lie. And if all of that were the case, then we would have no hope, because that means we would have to get to heaven on our own abilities, our own ways. And listen, we just said a minute ago when I said, has anybody ever done anything wrong? Every hand went up. The only reason we have hope is because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. The reason we have hope is because Jesus willingly went to the cross. I want you to understand that today. He didn't go to the cross because they tackled Him and tied Him up and carried Him to the cross, Him kicking and screaming, no, I won't go. He gave Himself for you. It's the whole reason that we have hope. I'm going to be preaching several sermons over the next several weeks. It's not technically a formal series, but they should all kind of interconnect. And I'm going to be preaching towards Resurrection Sunday. Beginning today. Today we are preaching about the road to redemption, right? The path to redemption. Redemption, that's what we need. We need that redemption. Why? Because we're all sinners. Every single one of us have sinned. We need to be redeemed. The only way we can see heaven is to have that redemption. So turn with me today in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to begin covering verses 44 and 45. There'll be more, but we're going to begin there today. So turn with me to Luke 24, 44 through 45. If you don't have your Bible with you today, the passage will be on the screen. If you have it, please turn there, because I want you to see in your own eyes what's there, not what I told you was there. Now He said to them, these are My words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't that incredible? Fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is talking to the disciples after His resurrection, by the way. He's talking to the disciples, and He's standing there talking to them, and He said, listen, I've already told you these things that were going to happen. Now I want you to understand, all these things have been written about Me. All these prophecies that have been written from the beginning through now, everything that's been written about Me must be fulfilled. Everything. And then He opened their eyes that they could see it. You see, you think about the disciples. They were with Him all the time. He told them these things all along. And they said, oh yes, we believe it. Until suddenly, He was put on a cross and died. And it seemed like everything they thought was no longer true. Because you see, death is final. And as a human being, we know death is final. Now, they had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but now it's different. He's gone. Death is final. Suddenly, all of these things that Jesus had said were going to happen, they've just completely lost because He's no longer with them. They felt so alone. They didn't have any idea. In fact, Jesus had walked among them. They didn't know it. Jesus came before them. The previous scripture said he came in. They saw him. He showed them the wounds. He even got something to eat. That way they knew he wasn't a ghost. He got something to eat. He did all of that. And then he said, listen, all of these prophecies, everything that has been said about me must be fulfilled. They all need to be fulfilled. These prophecies that Jesus spoke about are how we know he is real. What do you mean by that, preacher? Listen, from the beginning all the way through, there are all these prophecies that have been mentioned. They've all talked about Jesus, all of these things that have happened. In the Old Testament, they were all looking for the Messiah. Why? Because it was prophesied he was coming. They were all looking for a new king. Why? Because it was prophesied. They didn't understand the type of king. They were all going through all of this, all these prophecies that happened. They're looking for the fulfillment of prophecy, yet when Jesus fulfilled them, many didn't understand that he had fulfilled the prophecy. Today, when we think about it, we have the advantage. Because we can look back at the prophecy, then we can flip over and see in the New Testament the fulfillment of the prophecies. We can begin to see all the things that happened and how Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that was written about, except one. Except one. And that one, he said, I'm coming back. It hadn't been fulfilled yet. These prophecies that Jesus spoke about, that's how we know he's real. Listen, we could say all these things about people, but it doesn't come true. Then is that person really even real? Is all the things that we said even real? It was predictions, not prophecy. There's all kinds of prophecy that people claim to be prophecy. Really, they're predictions. You understand that the second coming of Christ, the date has been predicted over and over and over and over again, yet he still has not returned. It's not a prophecy, it's a prediction somebody came up with based on what they thought, maybe. For many, they had good intentions. They studied the scripture and they said, we believe based on what the scripture says, this is when. But they missed that scripture that said, nobody knows except God himself. He's the only one that knows. Prophecies are how we know Jesus is even real, because the things that we saw were fulfilled, not just fulfilled through scripture. Listen, what I want you to understand is these prophecies that were fulfilled, you can go back in history outside of the biblical writings. You can go back in history and see how these things were fulfilled in a man named Jesus. You can find that those things were done. So it wasn't just the scripture. It's the scripture, which is enough, but it's also historically accurate. All of the prophecies in scripture and their fulfillment. They're all in scripture and their fulfillment. It's all there for us to see. Everything is there. We can see it and we can see how it was fulfilled. We know that it's true. By realizing that and seeing that all that is true, we can trust that what Jesus has said and the Jesus that these scriptures talk about is real. We can understand that the things that he has said, the things that have been done, the prophecies that have been fulfilled, all of those things are real. Some people will say, well, you know, You're getting that out of the Bible. And of course, if I was writing the Bible, I would write things that would be real, that make people think it's real. I would put it all in there like that. Well, number one, listen, the Bible writes it all down, good, bad, and ugly. If I was writing something to make it look good, I'd leave all the bad and ugly out. Number two, historically, these same truths show up all throughout history. Archaeologists have found things that back up all these things in the Bible. Just a quick, for instance, this wasn't that long ago it was found. Anybody ever heard of Jericho? So as they crossed over into Jericho, you remember they came across with all of the fierce fighting and the battle and all that? No, they didn't, did they? They came across and they walked around the city. They walked around the city. And they kept walking around the city for all the time that Jesus told them to. And then at the end, he told them to shout. And they shouted and the walls fell inward. They didn't fall out. The walls fell inward. Everything fell in. Now, the city of Jericho disappeared. Nobody knew where it was. Recently, it's been found. They found the city of Jericho. And they found all of these things. Remember, they burned it all. They found all these things that were burned way down deep in the earth. They found it. And what they found is the walls, all of the whole city, all fallen in. No walls blown up. No walls knocked down and fall out the other direction. They weren't even disintegrated in pieces. They literally fell whole. They saw all of that. That's historical. That's not even scriptural. That's historical that it was done that way. It backs up what the scripture says. All throughout the scriptures, we find these prophecies. And across history, we can find in history the prophecies that back it up. The actual facts that back up the prophecies. Now, by the way, in case you're wondering, you know, we talk about history all the time. You understand that the Bible is history. But then read it this way. The Bible is his story, which is history. So when we look at all of that and understand, we see these prophecies, we see the fulfillments, we see the things that are going on. Listen, Jesus is real. And if Jesus is real and what he said is real, then we have to understand he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Look at verse 46 and 47. 46 and 47. Jesus, in these prophecies, he said to them, "So it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Jesus is talking about them. He's talking about these things. It's a prophecy that tells us this, that there will be repentance for forgiveness. All of this will happen. He's saying it's going to be preached across all the nations. It will be foretold to all the nations. The scripture tells us it's going to be foretold in all the nations. This is the prophecy that gives us forgiveness. It helps us to understand we are forgiven. As human beings, sometimes we have a hard time thinking about that. Why? Because, well, maybe I did something wrong. And I said, you know what, I'm sorry. And the other person says, I forgive you. And it's good. All that happens. But then there's other instances where someone will say, I messed up. Please forgive me. And the person says, sure, yeah, you're forgiven. But they never did. And so all these things happen, and as human beings, we have a hard time understanding that the forgiveness that God offers is complete forgiveness. It says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, and by that we understand it's never to be remembered again. That's how we're supposed to forgive. That's how we're supposed to live. This repentance and forgiveness, this prophecy that we see, this is where we see this. This is where we know that Jesus is telling us this is what happens. There's repentance. There's forgiveness. This is the one that gives us forgiveness. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we can be forgiven. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we can be forgiven. Well, what do you mean, because of that, we can be forgiven? Well, before that, we couldn't be forgiven. You know why we couldn't be forgiven? Because there was no atonement for our sin. There was none. So before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we couldn't be forgiven because we're still sinful. We're still covered in all that sin. But because of the atonement for sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. We can. It's not an automatic thing. Some people say, oh, well, yeah, we're all forgiven now. Did you ask for forgiveness? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you confessed your sins? Have you done those things? Because it's not an automatic thing. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Some people will say, well, you know, God's a loving God and he would never send anybody to hell. That is not what Scripture says. Scripture does not say that God would never send anybody to hell. The Scripture says, in fact, that if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. That's what it tells us. There is no sugarcoating that. Why do you say that, preacher? Why do you have to talk about that? Why do you have to make everything uncomfortable? Because it's real. Because it's real. And we walk around all the time believing, well, no, it'll never happen, it'll never happen. Listen, in the city of Mobile, when they start talking about hurricanes, and they say, oh, there's a hurricane headed this way, y'all need to evacuate. Half the folks say, ah, no big deal. Why not? It's not going to be that big a deal. It's not going to hurt us. It won't come straight here. It won't do that. Surely it couldn't happen, and suddenly their house is destroyed. People die. And they say, I can't believe it happened. They told you it was coming. But you walked around acting like it didn't exist, and then it came. Hell is real. If you walk around acting like it doesn't ever exist and you never consider the fact that if you die in your sin, you're spending eternity in hell, then how will you ever prepare? Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the atonement of sin, we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. And when we're forgiven, our sins are cast as far as the east and from the west. When our Father looks down to those who have given their life to Christ and He has poured His blood over them, what He sees is His Son, the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see the sin that we once had because it's been atoned. But how do we do this? Well, first we have to confess and repent. Woo! That's rough. First we have to confess and repent. You know what the hardest part of confessing is for most people? Admitting to themselves that they are a sinner. Admitting to themselves that they are a sinner. We don't like to look at ourselves and go, you know what? Man, I really need to work on that. I'm not perfect. We don't like to look at that. I heard a story one time. Somebody said they didn't really like how their face was. Their nose was too big. Their ears were too long. Their whatever it was. So you know what? They decided to take all the mirrors out of their house, and now they look beautiful all the time. But that's how we act. We act as if, oh, I'm fine. Y'all have heard, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay, right? The reality is we're none of us are okay. Every single one of us, Scripture says, all have sinned. And all means? Not one that didn't sin. All means all. So all have sinned. So how do we convince ourselves that, you know what, we need to confess? We need to have to be truthful with ourselves. Sometimes that's the hardest one to be truthful with, is ourselves. Take a hard look at ourselves. You know what? I'm a sinner. You know what, that preacher was talking about hell, and I'm afraid that right now, if I die tomorrow, that's where I'm headed. Hell's not a joke. You know, there are some people say, well, I'm going to bust hell wide open, because they never stop and think that it's real. And the torment and all of the things that will go on for all of eternity. Suddenly someone says, you know what? Maybe I'm going to hell if I don't change. I need to confess. I need to confess to God that all these things I've done, I need to confess to Him that I'm a sinner. I need to tell Him these things. Doesn't God already know? Mm-hmm. But by confessing, you've accepted responsibility for your actions. You've accepted the responsibility of saying, God, I'm a sinner. These things in my life I have done, I know they're wrong. I have made conscious decisions to do something knowing it's not right. I have done things I wasn't sure were wrong, but I did them anyway. I have never asked you to forgive me. We have to confess. Confess those sins to Him. Let Him know we understand we're a sinner. And repent. That's a big one. That's a big one. I confess all these things I did wrong. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you confessed all that. And tomorrow, here's the thing. We were going this way when we realized everything was wrong. We said, I confess. It's all wrong. I want you to know I'm sorry for what I've done. Okay. And tomorrow I keep going this way. Well, guess what? I didn't repent. I simply confessed it. Well, God already knew what I was doing wrong. The devil already knew what I was doing wrong. Probably my friends and family knew what I was doing wrong. Everything was wrong. I confessed it. Okay, now you know what you're doing wrong. But instead of changing, you continue to go in that same direction. Repentance is when you confess those things and then you say, I don't want to go this way anymore because Jesus is over here. I want to turn away from sin and self, and I want to turn to Jesus. And I want to repent of those things and walk in a new direction. That's repentance. When you turn away from the old sin and the self and all those things and you repent and walk in the direction towards God, that's repentance. If we're going to receive that salvation first, we have to confess and repent. You know what Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says? I said it a few moments ago. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Understand, that doesn't say you might be or you could be or perhaps. It says you will. Confess with your mouth. You see, I can't confess for my children and say, God, my children are sinners and I want you to save them. I can pray that, but I can't confess it for them. I can't look out and meet someone and say, you know what, God, they're sinners. I want to confess to you that they're sinners. Would you save them? I can't do that. They have to confess with their mouth. And they confess Lord, meaning they repent of all those things and they turn to Jesus and say, he is my Lord. I've confessed him as Lord. I've confessed the sins that I've done, and I want him to be the Lord of my life, and I absolutely believe that, God, you raised him from the dead. When that happens, the scripture said, you will be saved. Saved, saved. That's a church word. What does that mean? You'll be saved. You're going to be saved from an eternity in hell. You're going to be saved from yourself. You're going to be saved from the sin that so easily entangles us. You're going to receive that. And through that, you can spend an eternity with the Lord in heaven. The scripture said in that same passage, beginning in Jerusalem. Why did they have to begin in Jerusalem? Why did they have to begin in Jerusalem? Well, there are a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons they began in Jerusalem, that's where they were. So he said, begin in Jerusalem, preach to the Jews. The very people that God claimed as his own, preach to them. Preach to them. That's the place to start. But he also said it's going to all the nations. It's going to all the nations. He said, begin in Jerusalem. The Jews were there. They were there. The reality is, repentance would be proclaimed in all the nations. So start here. Start here. Why not? Start here. Start where you are. Repentance is going to be proclaimed in all the nations. In all the nations. Look at verse 48. Verse 48 says this. It says, you are witnesses of these things. Huh. You are witnesses of these things. You ever been called as a witness? Somebody said, oh, this happened, but he saw it. So I want him to come tell you what happened. I had a car accident. That guy was standing right there. Let him come over here and tell you what happened. Let him be a witness and say, these things happened. These things happened. You are witnesses of these things. In other words, you have firsthand knowledge of what happened. Jesus is saying, listen, you are witnesses to everything that has happened. You are witnesses to me. You are witnesses to the prophecies. You're witnesses to the fulfillment of prophecies. You're witness to the death, burial, and resurrection. And today you are a witness to the fact that I'm standing before you resurrected from the dead. He said, you're witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You have firsthand knowledge. Now here's what you do. Go tell everybody. Go tell them all. Go tell everybody else. You know, Jesus didn't have to come the way he did. God could have simply brought him in as king the first place. But he chose to send him as a human. He chose to send him as a person to go through the trials and the tribulations just like we do. He sent him to tell the world who he was. He sent him to die and shed his blood that we might have life and have it abundantly. He sent him to go through every bit of that. He said, you have firsthand knowledge. He could have sent Jesus and all the world could have known at one time. But that's not how he chose to do it, because he has his reasons. He's God and we're not. But what he did choose is to show those people who he really is, to help them to see through firsthand knowledge that God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus is my son. The disciples had already seen that. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. They saw that. They had seen him raise people from the dead. They had seen the miracles that he had. They heard him tell that he was the Son of God. They heard him preach that gospel, and now they've seen him raised from the dead. They have firsthand knowledge. Tell everyone. Tell everyone. Jesus told these witnesses to proclaim these things in his name. In his name. You know, it's an amazing thing. I could walk out and say, you know what? It's going to rain today. People look at me like, how you know that? How you know that? Well, I know that because I work at the National Weather Service, and one of the meteorologists told me it's going to rain today. Now I'm believable. When I walked out to begin with, it's just me. But now I'm believable because I said, no, someone else said this. I can go and say something, but then I can back it up with an authority, and someone now believes me. Jesus said, proclaim these things in my name, in his name. Why? He's the ultimate authority. If you proclaim it in Jesus' name, it's his power that you're proclaiming this in. It's his name. He's the one that said it. If we go and tell in his name, pardon me, not in our name, but in his name, because he's the one that has the power, then we can tell everyone, and it is true. His name is the path to redemption. How do I know that? We just read it in that scripture. His name is the path to redemption. You can be redeemed from your old ways into his ways. His name is the path to redemption. His name is the power. His name is the authority. His name is the only name by which someone may be saved. So his name is the path to redemption. The same thing that Jesus told his disciples, I want you to understand this. The same thing that Jesus told his disciples back then applies today. It applies today. What same thing? Jesus said, you're my witness. Well, wait a minute now, preacher. I didn't see that. I wasn't there then. I didn't actually see all of those things take place. No, but you read about them. You understand that they were prophesied. You understand the prophecies were fulfilled. And if you know Jesus and you accepted him to your heart, then you know he's real. So therefore, you are a witness. You have received it. You are a witness that it's true. If you're a witness, Jesus said, if you witness these things, so start here, tell the world. Start right where you are, tell the world. It still applies today to us, even though we aren't his apostles. Technically, we're still his disciples. Because he is the master. We've given our life to him, and we said, we will follow you. So the same thing Jesus told his apostles back then and his disciples back then still apply today. You are a witness. Go tell. We know the prophecy. We've read it. We can see it. It's not something that we have to be reminded of from someone else. We can read it and see it and all understand that in our own. Here's the thing. If we've read the scripture and we know that the prophecies were there, we've read the scripture and we know that Jesus fulfilled those prophecies, if we've read the scripture and we understand that Jesus is the path to redemption, the only path to redemption, if we understand all those things, then we also understand there's a prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled, and that's the return of Jesus Christ. And if we understand that one day he's coming again, then we also have to understand that when he appears, it's too late for someone else to accept it. You're my witness. Go and tell. Start where you are. Start now. Don't wait. We're not promised another day. We're not promised tomorrow. We have family members that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Listen, I hear it all the time. I have family members that don't know Jesus, but every time I try to talk about it, they get angry, so I just be quiet. Well, I'd rather they be angry at me on this side of heaven and be with me on the other side than to be peaceful with me on this side and not be there on the other side. We know the prophecy we need to tell. Start here. Jesus is coming again. That prophecy said he's coming back. He's fulfilled them all. If he fulfilled them all, then I absolutely believe he's going to fulfill the last one. His path allows redemption through his blood. It's his path. That's the only path to redemption, is his path, not ours. His path is the only one. It allows redemption through his blood. That's the only way you can be redeemed. It's through the blood of Christ. There's no way on your own you could ever be redeemed. There's no way on your own you could earn your way to heaven. You can't buy your way. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, he don't have enough money to buy his way to heaven. He never will. No one can do that. There's only one way, the name of Jesus. He says, no one comes to the Father except through the Son. His path allows redemption through his blood. If you are a child of Christ, start where you are. Tell the world. Well, you know, I try to tell people about Jesus, but tell the world? Come on, preacher. I can't reach the whole world. Really? How about this? Click, send. You know, it's called the World Wide Web. Nobody remembers what the WWW stands for. World Wide Web. We can reach the world in a click now. But even better, we can reach the world by telling them. Many people travel. They go all over the place, and yet they still don't share gospel of Christ where they go. Many people will get on the internet and talk about everything in the world except their Savior. If you're a child of Christ, start where you are. Tell the world. That's what Jesus said. Start right here and then tell all the nations. Tell them about me. The great commandment. The great commandment. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's just an abbreviated version. Go and tell. That's what Jesus, when he left us earth, that's what he said, go and tell. There's a path to redemption. People need to know it. There is an opportunity for salvation. People need to know it. Those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, just like the disciples did, our eyes are open. The scriptures are known to us. And now that they're known to us, we need to tell. We need to live our life that way, that others will see Jesus in us. Everyone needs the path to redemption. Everybody needs to know that. You know, some will say, well, you know, I'm not sure that those people really, you know, deserve to know these things, whoever those people are. You're right, they don't. Neither do you. Not a single one of us deserve to know any of what we deserve is a devil's hell. But Jesus died for all. He made the path to redemption for all. And he said, start here, tell the world. Resurrection Sunday's coming. We can celebrate because we say, woo, because of you, Jesus, I know I'm going to heaven because I accepted you as my Savior and you made a way for me. And I know that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you know the way. We can say all of that. But then what about our neighbor that we've never invited to church? We've never even shared the word God in their presence or Jesus. What about our coworkers? What about the lady or the man that checks you out at Walmart? You know, when you get checked out, there's always conversations. usually starts like this. Great weather today, huh? Something along those lines. It's idle chit-chat. Great weather today, huh? Yeah, the sun's shining. You ever heard about the sun named Jesus? Wow, that was fast. How simple. Yes. Do you go to church anywhere? Let me invite you. Oh, here's a card. It says, I invite you to Orchard Baptist Church. We have plenty of those, by the way. I invite you to church. Tell the world. Today I want to ask this question. Everyone needs to know the path to redemption. Everybody needs to know that it's because of the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have salvation, that we can have forgiveness, that we can have eternal life, and we can have it abundantly. Everybody needs to know that. Perhaps you're here today and you said, I didn't know that. You know, I came to church because somebody said, hey, will you come to church with me? I didn't have anything else to do Sunday morning, so I said, okay, I guess. You came to church. Maybe you came because you said, you know, something's not right in my life, but I don't know what it is, and I've tried everything else. Maybe I'll just go to church. Maybe you came to church because it's just the thing that you're supposed to do on Sunday, so you just keep doing it, even though you don't really know why. If that's any of those are you today, and you came here today, you've heard the gospel story. You've heard the power of Jesus Christ. You've heard about the eternity of hell and heaven. Today, you have an opportunity to confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead and be saved. You have the opportunity to do that today. So if you're here today and you don't know him, you've never given your life to him, I'd love to talk with you about it. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. You can come and talk with me about it. Love to share it with you. Perhaps you're here today and you know, I've never thought about telling someone else about the path to redemption. I know that I should be, but it's hard because so many people don't respond well when you mention the name of Jesus. You know why? Because the name of Jesus is convicting. It is. And they don't respond well, but how well do you think they're going to respond when they open their eyes in hell? Maybe today you say, there's somebody in my life that I need to tell. Maybe there's someone you just want to pray for them. The altar will be open. You can come. Pour that name out before Jesus and say, help me tell them. Whatever you need. Maybe none of that is applicable to you, but there's something in your life and you just need to come to the altar. It'll be open. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit places on your heart today, respond. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let's pray.